this time of worship this morning. We hope things are going well for you. You're staying healthy. Would you join me in a word of prayer as we get started? Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time that we have together, time to worship you, to bring praise to your name. We're grateful for all that you are doing in our lives. Lord, we pray that you'll use this time, this service, as a way to encourage us in our walk with you, to help us see more clearly where you are leading us and what you desire each of us to do. God bless us and use us. We thank you for this time, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. So we introduced this song last week, but if you didn't tune in last week, this song is about how Jesus is referred to the lion and the lamb throughout the Bible, and you really see that in Revelation 5 and how that contrast between the lion and the lamb is shown throughout his whole life. And so please sing with us as we sing.
Will bow down.
Folks, as we spend time in the Word of God today, thankful for the time that we have to gather together, even if it is in this virtual manner. Hopefully, soon we'll have an ability to come together in person again in live meetings. We're praying about that and hoping that will open up. We just haven't heard any word from our government to kind of see where we're at in that. So I'll be praying for that process and praying for us as we figure out the best way to do that for your safety and for your benefit and how that will work out for everyone. If you have your copy of God's Word at home, go ahead and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. I know it says verses 10 through 16 is kind of the focus is on the, I don't know if that slide comes up on what the message is about. We're going to talk about maturity and growing spiritually and those kind of things, but we're going to look at the whole chapter, just to read through the whole chapter, although I'm going to focus on the second half of that chapter in verses 10 through 16. So if you want to follow along with me in your copy of God's Word, we're in 1 Timothy chapter 4, and we're going to read the entire chapter. I think it was kind of interesting. This sermon was planned months ago. Not written, but the whole idea of the text was planned and in kind of an in-between. We'll be starting in an interesting sermon series, I think, over the next several weeks. We're going to look at some names of God. Obviously, can't look at all of them. That would take the entire year. But we're going to look at several of those and see how those apply to who God is, to understand His identity, and how that helps us understand who He is and what He's able to accomplish in and through our lives. So as you follow along in 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, and the apostle writes, "But the Spirit explicitly says that in the latter times, Some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. By means of hypocrisy and of liars, seared in their own consciences with a branding iron. Men who forbid marriage and advocate abstaining from foods which God created to be gratefully shared by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude. For it is sanctified by means of the word of God and prayer. In pointing out to these things, brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourishing on the words of the faith and of the sound doctrine which you have been following. But have nothing to do with worldly fables fit only for old women. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. For bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds the promise for the present life and also for the life to come. It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance. For it is for this we labor and strive, because we have fixed our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially believers. Prescribe and teach these things. Let no one look down on you for your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example to those who believe. Until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed on you through the prophetic utterance and the laying on of hands by the presbytery. Take pains with these things. Be absorbed in them, so that your progress may be evident to all. Pay close attention to yourself and your teaching. Persevere in these things, so that you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we thank you for your word, the word of the apostle. We're grateful for his counsel to Timothy, and we pray, Lord God, that as we spend time in your word today, that you will use this time to speak to us, to draw us closer to you, to help us have a clear understanding of where you are leading us and how you are walking us through the situation that we face in the days in which we live. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for staying with us and continually encouraging us. We just pray your blessings upon this time, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, this is, as I said, different kind of I've been going through the book of James prior to this, just kind of going through, which is kind of a nice way. I like to kind of go through a book at a time. Going to do a little different strain as we kind of spend some time in the next few weeks looking at the names of God and how those help us understand who God is. But today was kind of one of those kind of in between. I didn't really want to jump into what we were doing with the names of God this week, but just kind of felt led to kind of go this route. And I think, you know, as I was, it's weird. I don't know if you know how I plan messages. I just kind of put the scripture text out usually 2 or 3 months in advance. That sometimes changes, you know, but generally that's kind of what I try to do, is kind of have an idea where I'm going. And then God just kind of fills it in. I mean, I don't have all the sermons laid out and everything done that far ahead of time. Obviously, those usually come week to week. And as I was working on this one this week and trying to figure out and understand why God had left this text kind of fall on this date, I at first was very frustrated and was thinking about changing it. But God made it very clear that this is what he wanted me to share with you today, what he wants us to hear, what he is trying to teach us, I think. And so he's talking a lot here about spiritual maturity, about growing in our faith. And as I said, we're going to focus really more in verses 10 and following. And so that's kind of where you want to kind of look as you look at your copy of God's word. But in that verse 10, he kind of talks about some things about laboring and striving, because we have a fixed hope on the living God, who is a Savior of all men, especially believers. That is the reason why he is giving these words to Timothy, the reason why we come together to gather in worship. It's the reason why we spend time in God's word, is because we are seeking to grow in a clear understanding of the living hope of God and who God is and what God is trying to teach us and where God is leading us and how God can use our lives to bring him glory. And he reminds Timothy, and a lot of people say, well, this is just for pastors. No, this is for anyone who is a follower of Christ, I believe, this text that we're looking at this morning. He tells him to prescribe and teach these things. And then he kind of has a unique verse 12, and one that's been used a lot in different venues. And as a former youth pastor for many years, this is kind of a verse that I lean on. But there's a lot here in verse 12 that we're going to look at for just a few moments. When he talks about this idea of letting people look down on your youthfulness. How many of you can remember a time in your life when you couldn't wait to get to that next age, whatever it was? Or maybe there was a milestone. I know when I was young, there was, you know, that idea of being 13 first, you know, when you're a child, you're going to be a teenager, and then everything's going to open up, right? And then you see that great milestone of 16, because you get a driver's license. Little do you know, when you get the driver's license, you get a car, that all your money's going to be sucked through that car. But anyway, that's a whole other story. You know, all those things. And then 18, 21, we have different milestones in our lives that we look at, different things that kind of remind us of where we are going. And what I think Timothy, or Paul is trying to tell Timothy here is, a lot of times we get caught up in that youthfulness, in that exuberance, or that thought that, wow, when I get to that point in my walk, then I'll be who I need to be. And one thing that I've learned in 30 plus years of ministry and being around a lot of different Christians is one of the things that I see a lot of believers kind of use as a, I'll just use the word, they use it as an excuse not to do what God is asking them to do, not to serve in the way that God has called them to serve, and say, well, I don't feel ready for that. I don't feel prepared. I don't feel trained. I'm not old enough. Yeah, I've heard that. And I've heard that from people in their 70s, so okay? I want you to understand that. That's one of the scary things. But as people say that, I think that sometimes we think we just aren't ready to do what God's called us to do. And I'm going to just let you in on a little reality check here, and it's seen throughout all of Scripture. And especially when we go back in the Old Testament, there's a variety of those people that have the same response that I've just described. God is calling them to do something. Remember when God asked Moses to lead the children of Israel out of the promised land? Do you remember what Moses' response was? No way. I can't do this. He even had an excuse already lined up. I don't speak well. Now, I know I'm exaggerating a little bit of what took place there, but he had that mindset. We see that through with Gideon when he was called to do this great thing, and he had all these different ways he wanted to make sure God was talking to him. And even then, it's like, God, I'm not sure I can accomplish this. This is a really big deal. And he was going to fight 100,000 men, which he ended up fighting with 300 men. But God often brings us to that point, and he will bring us to a point where we don't feel we can accomplish what God wants us to do because we don't have that within us. And you know what's true about that? We probably don't have what is within us to accomplish what God wants us to do. And that's usually how you can tell that is God calling you and asking you to do something, because God is going to stretch us. God is the one who's wanting to use us. And a lot of times God works in those areas where we feel inadequate, we feel weak, we just don't feel like we can pull it off. And God's like, no, you can't, not without me. And I've seen it happen again and again in my own life and in ministry at times when I did not feel qualified, I did not feel competent, I did not feel like I was the person that was needed for that particular situation, and yet God, and sometimes in spite of me, often in spite of me, God chose to use me and did more in that circumstance and situation than I ever imagined possible. And I believe that same principle works in each and every one of our lives. None of us have everything within us to do all that God wants us to do. But when we have God present in our lives, when the Holy Spirit is working through us, there are things that can be done in and through us that we would shrink back from in our own humanity, but realizing that God has the ability to do that. And I think that's where Paul is leading Timothy to encourage him. Don't let people look down on you because you're young, because you're inexperienced. But instead, then he kind of focuses in these things. I want you to focus to be an example to others. And did you see what he said in the second half of verse 12? Rather, in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example for those who believe. Let your life reflect who you truly are in Christ. Let your speech, the way you talk to other people, the way you demonstrate compassion, the conduct, the way you treat other people, the love that you show for one another and the love that you show for me and the love you show for your Savior, let that demonstrate it. The faith that you have in God. And Timothy, as many of you might remember, was one who had a heritage of faith that was passed down to him all the way back from his grandmother, who was a faithful follower of the Lord. And in purity, live a pure and simple life. Live a life that demonstrates to others whom you follow and whom you worship and whom you serve. Allow God to use these aspects of who you are, he tells Timothy, and I believe us as well, to show yourself an example. Because the greatest way that we teach and encourage others about the Word of God and about the love that God has for us is all about how we live, isn't it? It's more about life and the way that we treat others and the way that we conduct ourselves than it is about what we say about what we believe. Now, some of you may have never done this, or you may have been around someone like this who talked a really good game about something, and then when push came to shove in their whatever it was they were talking about, they didn't have that ability to do what they needed to do or to do what they said they can do. As followers of Jesus Christ, we understand that as we surrender our lives to Christ, as we allow Jesus to live through us, that we are able to flesh out his grace, his purposes, his power, his love in our lives in a way that cannot be explained humanly, in a way that we don't really fully understand, but in a way that only God accomplishes it. And that's what I really believe Paul is alluding for Timothy. Allow your life to reflect the Savior who has delivered you from it. And I think that's something we can look at as we walk through these days in which we live today, can't we? There's a lot of things that we're dealing with that we don't have the answer for. We don't know where we're going. We don't know the direction. We don't know when things are going to change or become back to a more normal or something of a normal we're used to, but we do understand this, that God is in control and God will lead us on the path that he has for us, and God can use us in the middle of the situation where we find ourselves right now. All too often we wait to follow God. We want to follow God when things change, when things get better, when we feel more comfortable about it. And that's fine. That's a part of human nature. But the reality is God wants us to follow him in the middle of the mess that we find ourselves, no matter what that's like. And some of you have been there at times in your life where you were struggling when trying to figure out, God, where are we going with this? What is your purpose? What is your plan? Why are we experiencing this in our lives? Will it just end, God? Will it just go away? And God's just like, wait, child, just walk with me. Let me encourage you. Let me just follow me and let me lead you on that path. And I think Paul is trying to encourage Timothy. I'm sure it was a challenge for Timothy as he is a pastor of this church and trying to lead these believers, many of them probably who were much older than him, much more experienced in understanding the Word of God, and he's trying to lead them, and yet he feels frustrated, and he keeps talking to the apostle about these things and how can I do this? And he's just trying to remind him, just be who you have been called by God to be, and don't worry about what everybody else thinks. It's a great lesson, and I think that not just for those who lead in churches, but for all of us as we lead and demonstrate our faith in the world in which we live, isn't it? It's for us to live a life that demonstrates God's goodness and God's faithfulness to us and not focus on what other people might say. And he goes on, and look in verse 14, he says, "Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed on you through the prophetic utterance and the laying on of hands." Don't realize that God has invested in you. And that's something I hope you hear him saying, not just to Timothy, but to you as well. God has invested something significant in your life if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. You are uniquely designed and created by God to accomplish something that only you can accomplish. You're a significant part of the kingdom of God, the family. You're a significant part here at South End Baptist Church, and God has placed you here for that reason. And what you and I have to understand is allowing God to use us and trusting that God knew what he was doing when he placed us in the position that he placed us. But that's a struggle sometimes. That's something we fluster with. That's something like, well, Lord, I'm not sure you put me in the right spot. God, maybe you should have put someone else where I am because I don't feel like I can do this. And God's saying, no, I put you there. I know what I can do in and through you. Trust me in this process. I dare say that each of the 12, if you look through the lives of the 12 the apostles, they all had their strengths and many of them had many weaknesses. They were just ordinary individuals. They were just people that God had set apart for a specific purpose. Now, we look back on them, and many look back on them as great paragons of the faith, great, tremendous men of God who stood the course and were the foundation of the early church from which we have come from, you know, that whole heritage that they gave to the church. And yet they were just men who struggled. If you don't believe me, read the Gospels and see the challenges that they faced, the issues that they had with one another and with Jesus himself, the times they doubted, the times they were frustrated, the times they thought, God, we can't handle this. And all Jesus seemed to do again and again with them was, it's okay, guys. It's okay. Just walk with me here. Just stay in the room with me. Stay with me at the time and let me show you what I can do in and through you. And I think the same truth applies to us, doesn't it? As Paul is telling Timothy here, understand that don't neglect the spiritual gift within you. Realize that God has set you apart. He has gifted you to accomplish something incredible. It's not something maybe everybody's going to stand up and applaud when you accomplish it. That's not the point. But the point is you have been set apart. You have been designed to accomplish something specifically that God can do in and through you that no one else has set aside to do. And God wants to use you in that. He goes on in verse 15, take pains with these things. Be absorbed in them so that your progress will be evident to all. Allow God to work through your life. Allow God to do what God wants to do. Allow him to use the process that he has set up to equip you to be the man or woman of God that he desires you to become. And that's a hard thing at times, sometimes, to wait on the process because we like to get ahead to see how it's going to all work out. How many of you ever, when you were reading a book, kind of got impatient and you went to the end just to see how it ended? Anybody ever do that? Oh, now, really? Of course. Just Chelsea and I. Okay, good. But I think many of us have done that. I can remember when I was a kid, I would read these books I got kind of caught up in these series of books. They were mysteries, And they were kind of interesting, but I always want to know how they figured it out, so I would go read to the end. That's one of the things I would read Sherlock Holmes when I was a kid, that I wanted to see how he figured it out, and then I wouldn't understand what he was talking about anyway, because I hadn't read the whole rest of the story, because that's kind of how that detective would figure it all out. He would use the details. Now, a lot of times I was lost with, you know, Sherlock Holmes' solution, because, you know, that just was beyond me as a child, but I can remember and thinking about that. A lot of times we try to do that in life. God is trying to lead us on a path that he has for us. He has something he wants to do with us, and yet we don't want to go through all that God wants us to go through or knows we need to go through to get to where he wants us to be. We just want to get to the end. But oftentimes, the process is just as important as the finish line. The process is what God is using to mold you, to equip you, to strengthen you, to prepare you to be the man or woman of God that he wants you to be. Because see, God isn't as much concerned about what you do as he is who you are in Christ Jesus. Never forget that. The focus of our relationship, the focus of our walk with him isn't so much the deeds that we perform. They are basically a fruit of our lives. They're an outpouring of who we are. What he is more concerned about is our character and our spiritual development and our understanding of who he is, that we allow Christ to be Lord of our lives and we are surrendering more and more of who we are to him. And as we do that, then we can begin to experience all that God has for us and all that God wants us to be. And in so doing, we also have that deeper, more intimate relationship with our Savior and our Creator. Because that's really what being a Christian is about, isn't it? It's not about being able just to do certain things. It's really more about a relationship with Christ, isn't it? And it's an understanding of who he is and what he can do and knowing him and experiencing all that he has for us. And that relationship takes time to develop. Most of us know that happens in life, right? I mean, the relationship that we have with the person that we find most important in our life, a friend, a spouse, a boyfriend or girlfriend, or whoever that is at this time for you in your life, that takes time to develop. It doesn't just happen the moment the two of you meet. It happens over, as for a married couple, I can speak for Debbie and I, it happens over years and years and experiences, some good times and some not so good times, some exciting times and some challenges. All those things that take place in life happen, and that fosters that relationship, that builds that bond of love with one another and creates that connection that begins to develop. And the same is true in your walk with Jesus, isn't it? The more you spend time with him, the more you learn from him, the more you lean on him and listen to him, the more you grow and become the man or woman he desires you to be. And I think that was at the heart of what Paul was trying to encourage Timothy here, to stay the course, to let God do what God wants to do in and through your life, and then see what he accomplishes in and through your life. In that 16th verse, which is kind of, we're getting near the end here, but the power of that verse is really efficient, effective for our lives. He says, pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Pay close attention to who you are and to what you teach. Because it's important that when we teach, what we teach measures up to who we are. It's not just teaching because it's a good thing to say. We say those things because it means something in our lives. Otherwise, it becomes hypocrisy and it becomes useless. And many of you have experienced that maybe in one form or another, whether that's in a church setting or maybe in your work setting. You've experienced someone who really talks like they know what they're talking about, but then when you see them try to flesh it out, it just doesn't work out. There's just something that's not there. I can remember an experience I had a long time ago. I won't tell you how long ago because it revealed more things about me than I want you to know about how old I am. But anyway, I'm getting there. And I remember this experience. It was a high school experience. It was a guy that I knew. And he was always talking about certain things that he could do and how he was really gifted in this particular area of sports. And that area of sports happened to be basketball. And he was telling everybody how good he'd been. And he was a new student in our school, and he was just trying to impress us, you know, and he was saying, I was the star where I was, and I could do all these things and all that stuff. Well, you know, we thought, well, that's great. Why didn't he try for the basketball team, right? Well, we asked him to do that, and he kind of waffled, and, you know, well, I don't know if I can really do that. I'm not sure that I can, you know, I've got a lot going on. I mean, just moved here, and, you know, he had a million excuses. And so I said, well, why don't we just go to the park today, and you and I will just play a little bit, you know, because I wasn't very good. I mean, I was average. That's all I've ever been in sports. And so we played, and we played a little pickup game, as him and I and a couple other guys, and just to see what kind of, you know, if he was as good as he said he was. Well, you know, come to find out, he wasn't quite as good as he said he was. And so it also then made me question some of the other things that he said about his life. Was it really true? And I use that silly example to help us understand that a lot of times in our walk with Christ, we can boast about things that we think about ourselves that really aren't true, that really don't measure up. And I really think that's why it's important, as Paul says, pay close attention to yourself and your teaching. Make sure your character matches up with what you say. Be the man or woman that you claim to be. Because we are all flawed at points, are we not? We all have those struggles and issues in our life, areas where we struggle, certain things about us that are not exactly what they need to be. You know, there's always room for improvement in my walk with Christ. I don't know how it is for you, but I always have room for improvement. When I think of who my example is and what the standard is as a follower of Christ, I realize that I will never get there, and there's always room for improvement. The standard is Jesus. The standard isn't the Apostle Paul. It's not, you know, any of the apostles, but the standard is Jesus himself. And I will never fully measure up to that, so I've always got room to grow and improve. And what's great about that is that I understand that principle and know that God understands that as well, and he is working on me as he's working on you to helping me become whom he has designed me to be the man of God, or in your man or woman of God he's called you to be, so that you can honor him with your life, that your teaching, that your life measures up. Because as Paul says to Timothy, pay close attention to yourself and your teaching. Persevere in these things. Let this faith in you grow. Let it be strong. Let it be all that I have instilled it to be in you. Because the more we begin to flesh out the teaching that God has placed in our life, the more that we begin to use our faith and allow our faith to be practiced in our lives, to stretch at times in our lives when we really don't want to be stretched, but allow him to use those times, we become more the man or woman of God that God desires us to be. You know, I've been around a lot of amazing people in the years of ministry that I've been blessed to be a part of in churches. And some people just wow me with their faith, you know, and I'll never forget one of the first churches I served in, an older gentleman that I got to meet in the church. He was just some people you meet and you just, within 2 minutes of knowing them, you know they're exactly who they say they are. You know what I'm talking about. You've been around those people. And it just, his authenticity, his character, everything about him, and I just wanted to be around this guy all the time. And because he was just someone who was very compassionate, but he was also very knowledgeable of the Word of God. I mean, this guy knew where everything was and all, you know, I mean, he was a biblical scholar. But he didn't beat it over your head. He was very compassionate and kind and had that aspect of his character too, which really impressed me. And so I did spend a lot of time. I know as ministers, we're supposed to spend time with everybody, but I'm going to confess, I spent probably more time with this guy than most other people because I wanted to learn from him. And I pray that in my experience in ministry, as I go on, that I can be that for someone else. And hopefully you're finding that as well in our fellowship. You find someone to trust them, to allow them to invest in your life, to see their example at where they are at on the journey. It's not hard to find someone that's farther along the road than you are. I encourage you to reach out to them. And those of us that are farther along on the road maybe than some others, we need to do the same to encourage people to come alongside to help. That's what the body of Christ is about. We are encouraging one another on the journey. All of us are coming together and trying to bring everyone along and helping others learn from our experiences, both our failings and our successes. Because as we do that, as we grow and as we mature, we become the body that God desires us to be, and those individuals become the believers that God desires them to be. I'm so grateful for that gentleman's influence on my life, that he was willing to take the time for a young preacher boy, let him come alongside him and walk with him and help him understand more and more about the Word of God, and those examples that he gave me still stick with me to this day. And my prayer for you is that there are people like that in your life and that God continues to use you and help you grow in your walk with him. Because as you grow and mature and become the man or woman of God that God desires you to be, you'll be able to truly make a larger difference in this world than you ever imagined possible. You know, one of the other experiences that I've had in many years of ministry is that I've done a lot of funerals. I have no idea how many. I lost track. I thought when I first got started, I thought I'd do a little notebook and I'd keep track. Well, after I went through a few notebooks, I just gave up. And especially at my previous church, I did a lot of funerals. We had an older congregation, a lot of folks that passed on during that time, and so I did funerals. Also, we were right across the street from a funeral home, and so when a person didn't have a pastor or someone to the funeral, I would often get called because the funeral director was a member of our church, and Tommy would call me, and so I do that funeral, and so I did a lot of funerals. But as I look back on all those funerals, I think of so many of the legacies, some not so great, and then some that were just incredible. And I can remember the differences in the gatherings. You know, some gatherings are kind of sad. Some funerals are really sad. They're very depressing. I mean, not that any funeral is exciting. I'm not saying that. But others are really more of a celebration when it's a person who's had a life well lived, a life that honored Christ, a life that loved, showed love and compassion for other people. And people were just, they miss that person's presence, but they are so excited about that person's investment in their lives. Does that make sense? I hope it does. And I'm so grateful for those examples of those people that I was able to experience in my years of ministry. And several years ago, I remember doing a funeral for a gentleman in a church that I was in, and I'd gotten to know him, and he was just an incredible man of God. And he had came to Christ a little later in the game than most, but he had made up for lost time when he became a follower of Christ. He was very faithful to share his love and to show compassion and to support various ministries. He had a real heart for children and youth ministry. He would always try to find ways that... And he said he was too old at that point. I can't get in the room with him. I'll never get on the floor with him because I'll never get back up, he would always say. But he was always wanting to give money and resources in whatever way he could. If kids wanted to go to camp, he was that secret sponsor I had that I've got this kid. They want to go to camp. They can't go. Can you help them? Sure. Love to help them. And I think of his example and his faithfulness. And when he passed, it was just such a challenge for me because we'd grown close to one another. But it was also an encouragement at the same time, even though it was hard in the loss that I would no longer be able to just sit and talk to him, knowing that he was in the presence of the Lord and knowing that he was experiencing all that God had for him and that God would welcome him home and be grateful for the faithfulness with which he lived his life and the investment that he made on who knows how many children and families over the years was a time of celebration. And I think as Paul was looking at Timothy here, and I think as I look at this text myself, I'm thinking of the example for us, and that's kind of where I'm going here, is that we are living lives that whenever we are no longer here, people will still see the ramifications of the life that we lived in a good way, that our faithfulness will outlive us. And that's true for many of us. Many of you worship, many of you attend this church or wherever you find yourself because of the faithfulness of someone who has gone before you. I mean, in my case, the faithfulness of my parents, George and Mary Cooper, their investment in my life, their times that we spent to church, we went going to church, and all the other things that my dad and I did together, my mom and I have done, those are the things that will always stay with me. And my dad's been gone for almost 5 years now, but I still think of those times when he and I would go out and do something, and a lot of that impacted how I see God and how I understand who God is in my life and how I share that love with others. And the way that he invested in others, and the way he loved to invest in young men and encourage them in their walk with God, the way he loved doing that stuck with me. And I'm grateful for that example. And maybe you have someone like that in your life. And if they're still around, I pray that you take the time to let them know how God has blessed you through their ministry. And maybe there's someone you don't even realize that God is using you to bless through the life that you've lived, and continue to look for opportunities to help those who aren't as far along the journey as you are. Because that's what we are as a church. I mentioned that earlier in the message. And that's really the heart of the body of Christ, is that we are all on this journey together. We are all going along it, and none of us are going at the same speed. That's okay. But every once in a while, all of us need a little help and encouragement in that process. And you and I are here together to do that for one another. Pray and ask God, ask the Holy Spirit to make you aware of those opportunities that he might have for you in your walk with him. And if there is someone that you encounter that has not had that opportunity to know Jesus Christ, pray for God's wisdom and direction and the Holy Spirit's guidance on how to share the good news of Jesus Christ with them. And with that in mind, and with people that are listening and watching from all who knows where, if there is someone that's listening to the sound of my voice and you don't know, have never experienced the life-transforming and life-altering encounter of a relationship with Jesus Christ, please take the time to drop us an email and a message, and I would love to talk with you more about that, as would others in the fellowship. We want you to understand that God loves you more than I can adequately express. And God's desire for you is to make you the man or woman of God that He has always known you can become. And to let you be a part of the fellowship of God's people so that you can experience everything that God has for you. I pray that you understand that God is with you and I in the middle of this. That nothing that we face, no circumstance that we will encounter is too big for Him, and nothing catches Him by surprise. He is always prepared. Know that He loves you. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you. We thank you for this word from the apostle to his son in the ministry, as he calls Timothy, someone he had a deep and beautiful relationship with, and was very grateful for the opportunity to invest in him. And I pray, Father, that you would open our hearts and minds to those opportunities and those relationships that bring our way. And Father, if there is one that does not know you, Father, I pray that today is the day they begin that journey with you, that they may experience the love of Christ in all its fullness and the relationship and the transformation that comes in knowing Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Lord, bless this time and use it and speak to your people as you desire. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So in this song, In Christ Alone, it's a song about what it means for Christ to have gone through what he did and what it means to us. And it's about his life, his death, his resurrection, and that's what's the difference is what he has for us. I mean, that's what's the difference that makes us, in us, in single person, in this whole world, that's what we live for. And so please sing with us as we.
Commands my destiny. The power of hell.
Well, thank you so much for joining us on this Mother's Day. I forgot to mention that we're celebrating with you. So I hope you have a great time with your families later today, moms. And take care of those ladies that are very important to you in your life. Remember that. Hope you've already provided for them. So let's have a word of prayer and we'll let you go. Father, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for the time we've had in worship. Pray your blessings upon us. Help us to focus upon you and allow you to lead us. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.